Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Jefferson City Jays. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Anderson Kimball of the News Tribune, and before we start to dice things up this week, let's listen to a little bit of Anderson's conversation with Jays head coach Damon Wells.
To start, kind of, is there, I guess, kind of anything helpful or that, like, puts you at peace kind of to be able to have the second straight kind of dominant performance?
No, because I stand by what I said before, that we view each week as kind of its own entity. So honestly, 4 games ago seems like a year ago. We're very myopic in the sense that we are strictly focused on this 1 week. So last week was last week, and it was a great environment, a great experience, and we were proud of our boys, but now we're moving on.
I guess kind of just moving on against Hickman, I guess kind of facing another classic school in the CMAC, what kind of challenges does that pose for your team this week?
It's huge. I mean, obviously, a larger student population is beneficial. There are two classes above us, so it's going to be a challenge for us to try to compete and hopefully be successful in the end.
All right, that was Jays coach Damon Wells. And Anderson, you know, just based on the score line, there wasn't much drama in the 42-7 win against Capital City last week. Was there much drama from your perspective?
No, not really. I mean, the Jays were a little slow in the first couple possessions, but with the 35-point second quarter, you know, after that, they kind of put the game away pretty early, and it was pretty smooth sailing from there.
I kind of had a funny feeling based on talking to you last week and just kind of, you know, comparing scores and how we've kind of seen things play out this week. You know, I kind of saw that maybe coming a little bit. I mean, you know, while that only puts the Jays at, you know, 2-3 overall and 2-1 in the CMAC, I kind of felt like that's, you know, that was kind of what was coming from this game. I mean, take nothing away from Capital City, but I just think that, you know, they're clearly struggling this season. They're, you know, they're 0-5 now, and that's just kind of that, you know, that just, I think they're two teams, even amongst teams that maybe are kind of, you know, had their struggles in the CMAC already this season, that there's just a delineation between the two teams. So was anything stood out to you maybe that was just the difference between the two of them, or where that maybe that, you know, the talent gap lied in that game?
Yeah, I mean, I think for Jefferson City, they just had a couple more, like, playmakers, especially on offense.
Okay.
I mean, Capital City had some players that showed some talent. I mean, their quarterback was fairly accurate, and they had a couple receivers who could catch short passes, but the biggest thing was just kind of on defense. Capital City had about half a dozen plays where they just, you kind of shut off and a linebacker misses a gap, and they weren't able to make up for those errors.
Okay.
On those Jeff City big plays, while in the second quarter, I mean, Jeff City had 4 touchdowns on 6 offensive plays.
Right.
So when Jeff City was on defense, they gave up a couple big plays and a couple of first downs, but they were able to kind of have players come behind them and kind of make plays to mitigate those big plays from being scores, and they were able to kind of rally and get some stops, maybe when Capital City was driving on the Jeff City side of the field, get some 4th down stops and be able to kind of stop drives only after a couple of first downs instead of letting them kind of multiply and compound into scoring drives.
You know, that explosiveness is maybe not something that we maybe would have pinpointed at the early stages of the season. But, I mean, really, if you kind of look at it, I mean, yes, you know, the last 2 games have been against teams that are struggling in Capital City and Smith Cotton. But, you know, going backwards, we're talking 42, 49, 34, 13, and 20. On par, that's an offense that's been able to do some pretty good things this year.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing is they've been able to get, I mean, they don't throw the ball a ton, but they've still been able to get some really explosive plays on the ground with, I mean, mostly with David Bethune and Kevion Pendleton.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, getting those big plays has kind of been a springboard for their offense, so you don't have to, and I think in China, a lot of their scores were kind of relying on very long drives where, I mean, you're doing that a lot of times, you get a couple penalties or 1 negative play, and those kind of go wrong.
Sure.
And, I mean, I guess Hannibal, that's what you saw in the first half when they had trouble scoring. And then the second half, they got some big plays and were able to get some points on the board.
Right.
And getting those big plays has kind of built a really good base for this offense.
Where
they have those long 30, 40-yard scores, And then they're also able to have, in addition, some other drives, some other slower, longer drives. They're not able to get big plays to be able to just kind of have more consistency across the board.
You know, I don't know if Coach Wells was looking at it this way, but I think this is kind of one of those things where, you know, this is kind of maybe what you want to see. Maybe you could kind of foresee as maybe the natural progression of the season. You know, struggle a little bit early on with some of those really heavy hitters that we had in the early stages of the lineup. And then you just hope that you can kind of get things rolling to the part where, you know, you kind of start getting some wins under your belt and you get things rolling in the right direction. So I think, you know, while we maybe didn't, like, circle this date on the calendar, but when you look at Friday's game against Hickman at home, this all of a sudden becomes a game where you go, okay, you know what? At this point in the season, if you win this one, you're 3-3 overall and 3-1 in the conference, and that's kind of where you want to be at this point in the season. I think there, you know, if you had kind of played it out and gone, okay, you know, I don't think there's anything on their schedule where I look at it and go, okay, if I were predicting it, and I'm not saying that I know everything, but I think this is kind of how I see it, saw it shaking out. So I think this is kind of maybe the first game on your schedule where you go, okay, you know what? This is kind of one of those 50-50 games and go, okay, this game can go a long way towards determining maybe how the rest of the season plays out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, for them, their kind of status above Capital City and Smith Cotton has been pretty defined over the last couple of years.
Sure.
And I guess with Capital City just coming into the fold, you know, with them starting a new program from scratch, I mean, there's obviously going to be kind of some challenges and struggles with that.
Sure.
And so, I mean, they've kind of been set as, I mean, I know the CMAC's only been around for 2 years, but in terms of kind of those local area teams, have been kind of set as like a middle tier team.
Sure.
Kind of above the like Smith Cottons and, I mean, Hickman recently. And then below, I guess, Rockbridge and Helias and those mm-hmm. kind of bigger programs. And so, I mean, the biggest thing for this week is you want to have a similar result against Hickman to hopefully kind of use this three-game set where they're all winnable games to kind of springboard yourself against Helias.
Sure.
When you play them again. Because, I mean, that's really going to determine kind of their season of the CMAC. That game against Helias, if they're 3-1 in the conference, that game against Helias becomes a really big game.
Absolutely.
Sure. Helias will obviously be a noted favorite in that one.
Absolutely. You're relatively new to the area, but I'm sure that it probably got mentioned to you already more than once that, you know, Hickman Week, Hickman Jeff City Week has always been a big thing, and this has always been one of those weeks that I think, yes, it's easy to say that this is big in terms of this season, but this is a rivalry that stretches back years and years and years and years and years. So, you know, this has always been kind of one of those that, yes, as there's been a lot of turnover in both coaching and bodies that are around the program, it maybe doesn't carry the weight that it has because you don't have that institutional knowledge maybe of what this has meant. But this is something that I'm sure they're going to hear about from more than a few people this week, that this is Hickman Week, and this is always a week that's been big. So I don't see either team coming into this one where it, you know, either one is not placing import on this game. I think this is going to have a big energetic crowd that kind of surrounds it this week.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, because it's also just another, I mean, this is going to be one of the, even if you just look kind of away from kind of the low locality kind of history of these two programs being two of the most historic programs in mid-Missouri, I mean, they're both kind of as programs, I think, in similar-ish situations where they have a lot of history, and I mean, even with the two schools just kind of losing bodies and numbers to other schools being built around them, you know, they're kind of trying to deal with, I guess, that, and I guess kind of trying to build back some depth and some of that, I guess. I know with Coach Allison Hickman and Coach Wells here, kind of trying to build back that, I guess, culture and kind of, you know, games like this against teams in the middle half of your conference, you know, being teams like this is going to be what's going to kind of vault them in terms of the upper half where I guess for Jefferson City and Hickman have both kind of been stuck in the middle recently.
I guess the thing that strikes me, I guess, is the fact that, you know, there's so much still left to be played for in terms of some teams at this point. Week five, kind of your season has kind of already been lost. It's kind of already been a struggle. You know, it may not have turned out the way you wanted to. You may have had some injuries. You may not have had some results go your way. Things can kind of really get derailed in a hurry. I still feel like that there's a lot on the Jays' plate this year that they've got to play for. So I think how much pressure do you think that they feel this week in terms of this being, you know, a big game for them to win to kind of keep things progressing the direction that they want to? Because again, I think there's still a lot of good things that could happen for this team going forward.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Because I mean, basically, if you look at it from a big picture, from a postseason perspective, I mean, you kind of look at the bonus point system, and if they can get a win over a Class 6 team,
sure,
you know, that puts them in pole position for that second seed behind Hannibal in that district.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I mean, in terms of postseason, like, that's going to be kind of their goal, is to get that shot again at Hannibal. And
right.
I mean, in that game in Week 2, you know, the scoreline was pretty lopsided, but that was mostly because of a third quarter that kind of got out of hand, mm-hmm. after a pick six got taken off the board and didn't really go their way. And so for against this game, you kind of have an opportunity against a bigger team to kind of show their growth. And, I mean, Coach Wells has kind of said that becoming a more mature team is kind of the biggest focus for them.
Sure.
And getting a couple wins and getting that consistency can kind of put them in position to kind of show more maturity and be able to kind of make that Hickman game,
yeah,
or that Hannibal game, excuse me, in the
sure.
postseason, or that possible Hannibal game, a lot closer than it was last time around.
I guess that gets us to the point where we ask you, what do you think happens on Friday night at 7 o'clock, you know, against the QBs?
Yeah, I think Jefferson City's defense is going to have another chance to have a good game against the Hickman offense that struggled. I mean, they didn't score any points last week, and so Cotton was their defense that got all the scoring done. And
okay.
So I think it's going to be Jeff City 34-17.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Anderson Kimball, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's games, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following NT Sports on Twitter. Thanks for listening.